Here are the top 15 holdings of the Russell 2000, which is a growth sector, in my opinion. And let's look at some of the stocks in that top 15. All right, first up, we have AMC on the Russell 2000. You can see it is above this 200-day moving average. Amazing. If it ever drops back down to like 1283, that'd be a solid place to get in. You don't want to chase. Solid company, solid return, great. You don't want to chase at bad prices. Look to hold for the long term if you're going to be in it, et cetera, et cetera. Let's go to plug. Let's go to the next one, PLUG. You can see the same thing. You don't want to chase. Please put in chat, don't chase based on. So the 200 is down here at 525. The yearly open was at 3464, right? So you don't want to chase. Anybody who got in the 70s are screaming right now. Please put this in chat. It is all about the price in which you are able to enter. Because you could have a great momentum movement based stock like this. But if you waited 6 or 7 months to get into it and then you finally got in at 57, it was not the ideal time to get into that stock. Get in at prices that will put you at a advantage that most people will not. And talk about FOMO. If there's one stock I wish I would have called last year, it would have been Novavax. If you look here in March, it was at $9.01. 200-day was at 93.53. It ran up to 331, and it almost dropped back down to this yearly open at, what is this price? 112.92. It was there for a brief moment. I didn't have my alert set, so that's a great lesson for you so you don't make the same mistake. Set your alert if there's a price in which you want to get in, and then you can see it went from 112 to 331. It came back down, almost touched it again. It's at 188. So, and this is why. When you go back and study history, you can see going back to 1995, Novavax historically has done these kind of big booms and busts, right? So back in 96, it got to 166.62 and then fell apart. In 2000, 248 was a high and it came down to $89.55. But look at these historical moments. In 2000, it got to a high of 311 and then it fell all the way down to $33.37. And then it had a couple small mountaintops here. But the next time this happened was in 2015. I remember this move went to 300. And then before 2016 came in, it fell to $22.43. The homework that I want you to do on Novavax is once it falls 80% or 70%, how long does it take to go back up? So we had a big boom in 2000. We then had another one in 2015 and then again in 2021. Please take advantage. And then for those of you that love support and resistance, you can kind of see the areas. 171.59 is a secondary resistance area. So in 2002, 2005, 2009, it hit those levels over and over again and then fell apart, followed by the big mountain moves up to 300. And you can see here, if we look at this level here at 282.96, it normally does not sustain that price. Once it gets in that area or that zone, it starts to fall apart. Next week, I'm going to do a full breakdown on what I call buy and sell boxes. But this is an example. So I will go across this entire screen and I will mark off this area, double click it. I would change this color to red. And then I would know as soon as I look at the chart what that looks like, pink. Let me make it red. Okay, great. Make it red. And I know as soon as it goes up to these levels, it does not sustain. These wicks or these thin lines right here, that is the indication that the price went there, but because it's thin, the prices were not able to be sustained long term. So you can see anytime we got into this red zone, they were not able to hold their price. Does that make sense? Yes or no? And then also there are buy areas or buy zones that you should mark off, but I'll go over that full Speeding through the Russell, this is the notorious GME. We've talked about this one enough. Let's go to RH. Great. We've seen this one break up to the upside tremendously. Once again, yearly open, 448. And yes, the price is high, but you want to pay for quality. 448.44 was a great entry for it. The low of that was 412 and it went to 713. If you're not using the yearly open, you please, I'm begging you to put it on your chart. Let's look at Penn, something Troy's talked about. In addition to DraftKings, we can look at that. You can see that they had a nice movement up. They are then starting to break down. If it gets down to this 200-day moving average at 2501, could be a great place to enter. Secondary entry could be at the 85-26 area for those of you that are not using the 72 or the 100. Rounding out this list is NTLA, Intella Therapeutics. Had a hell of a push up. Let's look at Sunrun. And then you also want to go back since inception to see if the stock is good. So let's look at CLF, and this is the reason why you want to go back since inception. So the five-year chart looks pretty smooth, right? The previous top of it was, what, 2017? $12.22, went down to 263. Great, it's at 23 bucks now. But when you go back and zoom since the very beginning, this is what you'll see. In your opinion, does this look like a good stock? Previous high was 121.95, fell all the way down. About a year and a half later to $11.81. Everyone said that they can live through a drawdown like this, but most can't. Great. All my technicians, you can kind of see it broke down again, came down to 31, 32 bucks, and it's just barely crossing above the 200-day moving average. Now, it is to the upside, but when a stock historically falls like this, the probability of it going from here, say 1489, to getting back to this mountaintop of 102 is very low. This is why you need to go look at since inception to see if the stock is truly remarkable. DAR, on the other hand, tells another story. Top and fell down to, and that's why I say building a base is good. And it hit this 200, fell apart, and it's been on a tremendous run since 2020. You can see here at around 14 bucks would have been a great entry, and now it is currently at $67.54. When you look at this long-term chart and fully zoom out to see the macro picture, it does a tremendous service to you to be able to know what it's doing. Same thing with Deckers Outdoor. Great momentum, but they've been able to sustain it. They are going up to the upside. Let's look at LAD. Some of you asked about this in comparison to Tesla. I don't like it better than Tesla, of course, but LAD, Lithia Motors, is moving pretty damn strong. And this one is APPN. Once you get further down the list, I don't like them as much. The top five or six are usually the best in an index, and this is true here. APPN is solid. Most people don't even know what the company actually does, but there are some better examples. Like if we go back to the deck chart, we can see I like this chart a hell of a lot more than APPN. Can you agree, yes or no? So you want to invest in companies that, of course, their stock is rising, revenue is great, profit margins are great, and then you want to choose safety. And I saw Rashad post this the other day, and a lot of you hit me like, man, Biden's about to crack down on tech. So he's going to sign an order to crack down on big tech, boost competition across the board. And I think it sounds good, but hypothetically, in the grand scheme of things, I don't think it will affect Apple, Microsoft, Google, AMD, NVIDIA, et cetera. And I understand this may be jarring if you're invested in tech, but historically, these kind of measures really don't move the market as much as they used to back in the early 2000s or prior to that. So in the words of the great philosopher, Rocky Maivia, it doesn't matter. That those kind of legislative practices are not going to have a tremendous effect on a top 10 tech companies. But I have 24, 25 reasons, but this is just one towards the end of the totem pole. Let's look at some of Joe Biden's donors. So we have Donald here from Palomo Partners. He donated $9 million. We have James, who donated quite a bit of money. And then we have Michael from Sequoia Capital. Please put in chat if you know what Sequoia does. He donated $3.5 million. These are some of the companies that Sequoia has funded. Apple, 3Com, Airbnb, Cisco, DoorDash, Clever, Dropbox, Evernote, Eventbrite, Gamefly, Green Dot, Inside.com, kudos to Jason Calacanis, Instagram, Instacart, PayPal, Pilot, Ring Central, and Robinhood. Some of you have been asking what I think about Robinhood. We'll touch on it later. Could be a game changer, right? My point is, if that much money was donated to the campaign, do you really think there would be a hard tech crackdown when consumers aren't even complaining about tech monopolies in the same fashion in which they were in the early 2000s? What are you going to replace them with? So let's say if it does happen, right? Hypothetically. So if Instagram goes public, say Messenger goes public from Facebook, Apple Music, and let's say the App Store goes public. And I can make the argument, the artists that you love and the companies that you love, like Uber, Drake, DoorDash, Spotify, Instacart, Bumble, Tinder, none of those would exist without the Apple ecosystem. And they get paid a hefty percentage from all those companies to be on the platform. What do you think those would be worth? So with spinning off some of these companies or assets and making them publicly traded, will it be beneficial for the tech ecosystem, or will it make it a bigger beast? Sometime when you slay a dragon, it shows up with five more heads. This is the proverbial case for that. Amazon all time is up 214,000% all time. I know people love to make you feel like long-term investing is not sexy. But when people start to tell you that, and they, hey, here's the play. Long-term, how many people have gotten 214,890% return? Say it with me. Long-term investing is the wave.
My graduates from my school being Forbes, bag drop.
Bag drop.
A mic drop. Bag drop.
Bag drop.